Hello everyone, this is Auroville Radio. Welcome to our monthly podcast, and this is our 8th episode. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Tara.
Our guest today is Satyavan. Welcome, Satya.
Thank you.
So Satya, tell us about yourself.
So, I'm an Aurovillian. I've been living here since 2010. I initially came as a student in law school. And over the past few years, I've been involved in different activities. So actually, I started my first classes as a teacher in Deepanam, after which I also worked in Shraddhanjali, which is a unit. You must have heard about it. So I did a little designing, a little filmmaking there also. But I think you know me more from the sports ground, Daya Shakti, where... I was a student first and then also a trainer, so I've also studied some sports science. And currently I'm working in law school, where I teach a couple of things that interest me a lot.
Okay. So how did you get to know about Auroville and what made you shift here?
So my parents were studied in the Sri Aurobindo Ashram School in Pondicherry. And so did my uncle, my father's brother, and I have aunts also on my mother's side who are involved, who are students, ex-students now of the Sri Aurobindo Ashram School. And my uncle was living here since a long time. I used to visit Auroville every year as a kid for my vacations. I used to live in the north. I was in Bangalore for a few years and then in Ahmedabad. And then I did my 10th there. In a CBSE school.
Okay.
And I wasn't really happy. I didn't feel like it was a system that suited me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very motivated, a bit lost, not really satisfied with the way things were going. And I knew I had this option. So then I just, I came after my board exams, you know, the 10th standard board exams, and I told my uncle I don't want to go back. And initially, with my parents, my mother was fine with it. My father needed some convincing, but finally accepted. And yeah, since then, I'm here in Auroville. So I know about Auroville and the ashram and all from birth, because, I grew up in that atmosphere.
Hmm. You have worked in and are working in law school, Daya Shakti, and Shraddhanjali. What was your experiences in these places?
Yeah, so like I said, my first experience really as a teacher, you can say, was in Deepanam, where my first students were, you know, like Bhavya, that class,
okay.
Priyam, Ahilya, Devi.
Yeah.
And it really started as because my uncle was there and I was really always very interested in current affairs. That's one of my topics, so social sciences, if you want the CBSE term, but everything that's a bit history, geography, so it started like that. And then I discovered a passion for languages, which is also the other thing I did. I taught in Deepanam French. So it started that way, after which another thing that I'm very passionate about is sports. So initially I was doing a lot of sports as a student, and then gradually I just transitioned into more of a trainer. Slowly, first as an assistant, and then as a class teacher in sports. Shraddhanjali I discovered because as a student, as in law school, there's a lot of focus on art. There used to be. It's not an art school, like a lot of people mistakenly, they think that, but it's not. But it's true, there's a lot of emphasis on art. So I wanted to do something with that practically, and Shraddhanjali was there because there's, you know, Dipti from law school. It's her sister who started with another person the place. So she has a long connection with law school, and so it was possible. I just went there, saw the place, started volunteering, designing things with the dried flowers. Mm. So I liked the whole process. And at the same time, I was doing filmmaking also. In law school, I was learning. So one of my projects was that for their website, they needed a movie which speaks about the place, about the unit. So I made a short clip about that. About the unit.
Yeah. So coincidentally, even I'm... So for the internships, I'm working at Shraddhanjali.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I will be coming to law school for the trial.
Yes.
So
yes.
What would you say, like, What do you think La School is about?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, in a few words, of course, it's best to experience it yourself, which you will soon.
Mm-hmm.
But in simple words, you will hear of this term, free progress. So the foundation of La School is free progress. Now, what does that mean? That is, it can be interpreted in many different ways. So, and people often, miss the point. It's not about freedom. The aim is not really freedom. Yes, freedom is there, but you have the freedom to progress. So finally, the aim is to progress. And one of the things we try to do in law school is to go from inwards towards, to go inside. Now, what can that mean, inwards? Again, that is something I won't say too much about because you have to experience it. But practically, it's about giving you more responsibility, the choice to make your own program.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, initially, the first year you'll be there, the students are expected to try everything there is. Because one of the traps in the free progress that I've seen in my experience is that we tend to go towards what is easy and staying in our comfort zone, which is very easy to do. So I would say in simple with law school is it's free progress, but with the focus being on progress, where you actually take responsibility for your own growth through the programs that are offered. And you can find things outside also that work for you. So it's not restricted that, no, once you're there, you only have to do the programs there in the school.
Yeah.
As long as it's aiding your progress, aiding your development.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you've been in a traditional school too.
Yes.
And you have also been in law school.
Yeah.
So what would you say is better in terms of like anything? Yeah.
So again, one of the things that I've learned in law school, and I'm still learning, because that's the other thing I forgot to say, is that it is not really based on age. So you have adults also who come for a few classes, maybe 30, 40, 50. So there's no real age limit. As long as you have the thirst, you have an interest for something, whether it's reading, it could be the works of Mother Aurobindo, or learning a language.
Mm-hmm.
The place is there. So we have a lot of ex-students coming in still for classes like this, which are possible with the teachers. So I would say the main difference, I don't know, I wouldn't put this thing of better or worse, because there is something to learn everywhere. That's one of the things which has been inculcated in me by law school, is that you try and make every opportunity a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, you can always find something useful in everything. Even the things we deem to be useless and not very interesting superficially. But if you go deeper in, that's where the thing of going inwards, when you try to really reflect and find something. There's always something to learn. And when we're put in certain situations, there's a reason why we're there. And it's best to make use of it. So, of course, initially when I left that place, it was not in a very good... I wasn't in a very good state of mind. It was this kind of... I was very unhappy there. So initially, I was just happy to be away from the traditional, conventional schooling system. But throughout the years and being here, then I understood that there were a lot of things that helped me grow also.
Mm.
So it's true, the conventional system, it has a lot of rigor. If you understand the word, it means every day you have every topic, every subject, Monday to Friday, some days Monday to Saturday, some schools, mine was Monday to Friday. You have tests all the time, you have exams, so there's a lot of pressure. So in a way, yes, it helps you, it teaches you to deal with that, because in life you're going to have to handle, you cannot escape it. Whatever you do, there's going to be moments of pressure, you're out of your comfort zone. So the positive. But then the drawback of that is that sometimes that stifles who you truly are and doesn't really give the space to sometimes be or do your best necessarily. Because finally, what I didn't find so interesting was the aim of doing all of this. Because what we were taught is that you do that, you get a good job, you have make a lot of money, and that's the life. They literally tell us, I mean, you suffer now and you'll enjoy later. Suffer the 10th and 12th, get your grades. So, yeah, and then I actually believed that. Initially, when you're young, you see people around you, you're influenced. My parents didn't believe in that, but at that age, you tend to follow what is happening outside more than your parents. But then I figured it out. I looked around me. There's a lot of people didn't look that content and happy. You had problems even if you had excellent grades and a lot of money and a lot of material possessions. So that would be something that, was a little stifling. But here, the system here, of course, I got to do so many things. I don't think I would be able to do filmmaking, sports, doing the A-levels. I did my A-levels in sports science. I mean, I followed the course. Mm. I didn't do the exam, really. But this kind of variety that was given, this thing of doing sports 5 days a week, because, you know, in Indian schools, sports... I had 45 minutes a week, and
it's
even
not
that,
given a lot of importance.
The teacher would just give us a ball and say, go and play something. So it was not real training. There was nothing really rigorous and systematic about it. And, well, we're improving in the Olympics, but when you see India's position, you understand why India is still way behind in sports compared to most countries.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a plus point, working on the body. So that working on the body helped me a lot with self-confidence. I did theaters. I was an I'm still an introvert, but I was very low in confidence there. So that was really a boost for me here, because I had the space and time which I needed. Of course, I had the right people to guide me also. So that was really helpful.
Yeah.
So I feel lucky to have that. I was surrounded by people who kept a certain standard. So I find that in law school there is that exigence still, and it depends a lot on the people who are running, who are around me, the teachers. And it's an interesting thing. One more thing, I mean, when we're in school, maybe you will also think about this later. What I remember and what I still discover all the time, it wasn't really the subject that stayed with me as much as the teachers. That's what I remember. So I would see my teacher, my Sanskrit teacher here in Lhasa, and the way he would do the class, the passion, the dedication, mm-hmm. and this type of quest for perfection, that's what I remember really. And I said, that's how I want to be. And this thing of emulation, not imitation really, but to emulate someone. So if you have good figures around you, which works mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah.
And I never felt like they were trying to impose any thing of their way of doing things or thinking on me, but they would push me when required. And sometimes, of course, as kids we get into our comfort zone and we need a little kick to start up again. So
like the teacher will always give you like a natural motivation.
Yes
We also know you speak many languages. How many do you know, and what are they?
So I would say, again, this one is a tough one. A lot of people ask me, but I have a very high standard for myself when I'm learning a language. So I still say I'm still learning English. I don't even speak English the best I can. So, But I can converse quite well in about 8 languages, I would say. And I'm learning a few still. The more you learn, the easier it gets, actually, if you have the time, of course. Requires time and energy. So I, of course, English, Hindi, Gujarati, Kannada. What else is there? Italian, Russian, of course.
Of course.
So some Tamil, not as well as I would like. I'm still working on that. So I'm learning Spanish also.
Wow.
And Telugu. So my mother is from Karnataka, so that's like, I can say my mother tongue. My father is from Gujarat. So that I know not by default, but I have people with whom to speak.
Mm.
And Auroville for that was excellent, because the resources we hear, of course, if you use them, then it's great. So I could have this, I had this opportunity to practice my languages with people from those countries. Like I had Russians or Italians, actually, I would meet, we would speak, go to Seoul, not only in school, even outside the school, go to Seoul kitchen, have lunch, just talk. So it was very nice, a lot of goodwill from people to help me out. So again, that's really the advantage. If you know how to use the resources, then it's a great place here,
How did you get motivated to learn all these languages?
So the French, it started with French. I used to learn French in my Indian, the school I was in before. I used to hate it because the way it was taught, you had grammar and exams. So I was really bad in it. I used to get horrible marks in the exams. And I came here and my uncle had a lot of these comic books in French. I love comics, you know, Asterix and Lucky Luke and more of the French. And he had them all in French and I wanted to like read them all, and that was one of the motivations. So then I said, okay, no, I want to learn French to read those comics. And it started with that. Then I went into some literature and I really liked it. And law school had a lot of French teachers because a lot of French nationals at that time. So I had like 3 or 4 different teachers in French just that there was a period of time. So I really had a lot of variety. Then I started doing a little bit of maths also in French because I like to master a language in all the domains, not just speaking. So I try to also see in science, in geography, in history, because you have different terms, right? It's one thing to be able to converse, have a conversation like this. But then I also like to go into the details. And so, yeah, slowly, that's how. I actually wanted to learn Italian first, but there were a lot of French teachers, so I started with that. Then I did Italian, Russian, because I'm, again, into history. And the languages for me, because it goes well with my interest for history and culture, I really love discovering different cultures, and the language is the best way for me to do that. So I'm not just learning the language, I'm discovering that culture also through it. The language is a great tool, so that keeps me motivated.
So you do so much of work over here in Auroville, but you know, as a kid, what did you want to do when you grew up?
So when I was really young, that was a big shock for me. I was very innocent. I wanted to be a truck driver initially, and everyone told me, no, that sucks. You know, in India, you have to be an engineer, a doctor. Those are seen as the good professions already. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I wasn't really thinking in those terms as what I want to be. Because I wasn't really centered when I was there. So I moved here at the age of 15. So that age group between 12, 13, 14, 15, I was just going through life, like not thinking about those things. So not really interested or motivated in anything, so. I had the phase like most boys do, the video game phase and all those things, but that's all.
What do you plan to do in the future?
If I think about it now, so right now I'm doing a lot of slowly Sri Aurobindo's works. I read, that's what I enjoy a lot with the students. So I see myself continuing in law school for the time being. I don't really have a plan for the next 10 years or anything. But I would be also open for a few years if needed to experience something else outside. It's not like I'm limited to this. But at the moment, I see myself here in Auroville and doing whatever is required. Currently, my interest is education, the school, working with youth, and I also take some gym classes with the teenagers. So that's also something working really well. I'm not in Deshakti anymore.
Yeah.
Before, but I have smaller groups of students from law school, and we work on fitness and all. So yeah. So I have my hands pretty full, and so I've committed for that. So I like to keep that for the next few years.
So, like, what is, like, the most memorable experience you've had in Auroville? Like, you could say a few words.
A few, yeah. So there was, one, it happened in law school. We, when I was a student, it was 3 of us. We were in this English class, and we had to write a play on our own, like, from zero, our own thing. And so we all did it, and we enacted one of them. So, not mine, the... it was another student, my friend. And so we did this play in law school, his play. We enacted it. We did all of the everything. We got the actors, the costumes, all of that. It was a simple thing. And that was really, I had one of the roles of the funny guy. It was a play about thieves trying to steal something. And I was the one who always messed it all up. And so I had to be the funny guy who makes mistakes all the time, is a bit dumb. And that was really a key moment for me, I think, because that theater, that part, it really helped me with self-confidence and public speaking and all those things. After that moment, before that, I used to have the fear of speaking in front of a lot of people and dealing with crowds and all, but that was really memorable for me. We did three shows, I think, if I remember correctly. We did two parts, so we did one part 1 year, and the next year we did the second part. And it was a nice overall effort. And for me personally, it was great to discover that side of me of acting and being the dumb guy and exposing myself and being ridiculous in front of many people. So that was definitely something, a great learning experience in a very fun way. And it was interesting because when it ended, normally you know how a play is, no? Like the days, the build-up, you're like, oh, it's getting tiring and all. And when it ends, you're kind of almost sad that it's over and that routine of being with your friends and all, it's
yeah.
good. So you're happy
yeah.
that it's over, but you're also sad that it's...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's so in one, just if you look at this play, it led to this whole thing and... So it was a great thing, and of course I still think about it, so I would say yeah, that is one of the most memorable moments.
Yeah, I know, because even we do like a yearly play in Deepanam,
yeah.
so I know like you have to prepare and you do a lot of hard work,
yeah.
and then after it's done you're happy, but you're also sad that
because
it's now over.
And all the fun that you had while rehearsing and stuff. What is a message you would, you know, like to give to the students in AV?
The message, well, just be open, be sincere, and just don't be afraid to do the things you want to do, because it's a great place that has a lot of opportunities if you can find them, appreciate them, and use them, of course. So there is a lot of things here available that you can do, so... If you use your time wisely and have the right people to guide you, then it's really, it's an amazing place to be.
So thank you for joining us here. We really appreciate the time you've
yeah.
taken out. And for everybody who's listening, we hope you enjoyed.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.